Well, hey, church, I'm in the book of Mark, chapter 12 today. We're continuing the series in Mark, and this is a pretty interesting little passage here today that I think often causes you to scratch your head, and maybe in times where you are thinking harder about government involvement in your life, this passage might be one of the first ones you think of. And I know most of us are thinking right now about government involvement in our lives more than we often do. And so let's read this and see what it means. It's Mark 12, verse 13 through 17. It says, "And they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. And they came and said to him, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances.'" Or you might say, you do not defer to others. "But you truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" That's the question. "Should we pay them or should we not pay them?" "But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, 'Why put me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me look at it.' And they brought one, and he said to them, 'Whose likeness and whose inscription is this?' And they said to him, 'It is Caesar's.' And Jesus said to them, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God, that are God's.' And they marveled at him." So, pretty well-known passage. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Pretty simple little principle there, but there's important things happening here. This isn't just a, hey, should we pay taxes or not kind of question, because that's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question to ask Jesus. Should we be paying taxes to Rome? Rome's bad. They're really, really bad. They're tyrannical. They kill people. They crucify people. They're bad. But look, it says that they're setting him up in a trap. And then it specifically says in verse 15 that they have hypocrisy in doing this. So what's so hypocritical about asking Jesus this question? What's the trap? Well, on one hand, there's a simple trap. If he says, yes, you should pay taxes to Rome, then he's going to lose a lot of his following. A lot of people that hate Rome, and they want him to be the son of David, to rise up and kill Israel's enemies. And certainly that guy isn't going to want to pay taxes to Rome. So if he says, yes, you should pay your taxes, he loses his following. He loses his any kind of chance he has at overcoming Rome. If they think that that's what he's going to do, no, I'm not going to do that if he says to pay taxes. And if he says don't pay taxes, they can immediately turn him over to the Romans. And the Romans will get him for incitement, they'll get him for sedition, they'll get him for treason and all this other stuff. Because you don't question Rome, right? And check out who they bring with them. It's the Pharisees and some of the Herodians. Herodians are, they work for Rome. Herod is kind of half Jewish, but he serves at the discretion of Rome, at the pleasure of Rome. And if he makes Rome mad, he's out, straight up. He is not loyal to the Jews in that sense. He's loyal enough to keep them happy. He builds them things like temples and big, interesting architecture, stuff like that. Actually, that was Herod, they call him Herod the Great, a generation before. But in these new Herods, we've talked about it in the past. But in Mark 12, it's not the same Herod. But it's the same idea. So it's Pharisees and Herodians. You remember all the way back in chapter 3 of Mark, it says that the two of them got together to plot against how they could destroy Jesus. Pharisees and Herodians are not a natural group to get together. Those two do not have a lot in common. In fact, they don't like each other a bit. But we've seen there's a lot of groups. When you read your New Testament, you might just kind of lump them all in. Oh, the Pharisees, and we just kind of blame them for everything. But look, there's priests, there's scribes, there's temple leaders, there's temple elders, same difference. There's a Sanhedrin group, there's Sadducees, there's Pharisees, and there's Herodians. Like, there's a bunch of different groups going on. All of them hate Jesus for one reason or another. And all of them have certain defectors who actually love Jesus and actually are interested in him. Except maybe the Sadducees. I'm not aware of any Sadducees who go in with Jesus. But I'm sure there were one or two. I hope so. Anyhow, this is some Pharisees and some Herodians coming after Jesus. He calls them hypocrites. He says, knowing their hypocrisy, He asks him, so what's so hypocritical about this, you might ask? And how does his answer them? He basically says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. That doesn't seem like a groundbreaking answer to me. It basically boils down to, hey, pay your taxes and pay your tithe. And, you know, nobody likes paying their taxes. Many people don't like paying their tithe either. But that's not all that groundbreaking of an answer. And yet it says they marveled at him. So what's this about? Well, there's a lot that it's about. First, look at what he says here. He doesn't just answer their question. Hey, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Is it lawful or not? Should we do this? He doesn't just say, yeah, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. He doesn't answer them just straight up. He does not answer their question. Instead, knowing their hypocrisy, verse 15, he said to them, why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. And they brought him one. And he said to them, whose likeness, whose inscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And then he answers their question. So you got a couple things here. First, remember, he just cleansed the temple. Den of thieves, he called it. And specifically, who did he kick out? Chapter 11. Who did he kick out? I'm going to read it to you. chapter 11, verse 15. He came to Jerusalem. He entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. The buyers, the sellers, and money changers, and the pigeon sellers in particular. but in this particular situation, we're talking about the money changers because they're talking about taxes and money. So why are there money changers in the temple? You ever wonder about that? There are money changers in the temple because Roman coins are dirty if you're a Jew trying to go to the temple. You don't want to bring dirty Gentile Roman money into your temple. So you change it. And you exchange your Roman denarius for a temple shekel or whatever. And they have their little ratios and one for one or two for one or whatever it happens to be. They're money changers. That's what they do. Why are they there? Because they're in the temple and they don't want dirty Roman money going in their temple. Okay? So now these guys, the Herodians and Pharisees, come to him and say, hey, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Well, hey, bring me a denarius, he says. And they have a denarius. That's half the point. They have one. Whose likeness is inscription is on this denarius you guys are carrying around? Caesar. And they marveled at him. Okay? Because he's pointing out, hey, you guys trying to trap me, you're carrying around Roman money all over the place. I asked for a denarius and you've got it. And it has Caesar's name and Caesar's inscription on it. So you're carrying Roman money around. You're setting up a changing table at the temple because you know this stuff's dirty, but yet you're living by it. You're living in the Roman currency. You're living by Roman money. You're doing everything the Romans do. You're living in their system. And then when it's time to go to the temple, then you have to switch it out and clean it up and use a temple drachma or something. But the rest of your life, you're living in Caesar's system. And now you're going to come say, hey, we don't want to pay taxes to Caesar. We're holy. We're righteous. We're pure. We God's people shouldn't have to pay taxes to Caesar. And he says, look, if God's people are using Caesar's system, then God's people should pay Caesar for his system. And they marveled at him. Okay? No, you don't want to pay taxes. Of course not. But guess what? You live in Rome. You live in a Roman world. You choose to. You carry a denarius around. You live by their system. Well, then you have to play by their rules. Don't like it? Hey, whatever. Give to God what belongs to God. And there's a flip side to this coin as well, because some people pay their taxes every year. Most people do. But they don't like to pay tithe, and they won't. And so you're actually paying Rome, paying Caesar, whatever, paying the United States government, and you're refusing to pay God. So don't complain about your taxes if you won't even pay God what belongs to God. So no matter which side, they're trying to get him to pick a side to make the other side angry. And he points out, hey, actually, guys, you're the ones playing both sides. You're the ones living in Rome, playing by Rome's rules, carrying Roman money around, and then pretending like you're too holy to pay Rome for all the systems of Rome that you use. And, by the way, you don't even pay your temple tithes. You don't like to do that either, and you complain about that. So you need to start paying God what belongs to God. And quit worrying about trying to weasel out of taxes and who's on your whose side here. All right? Now, for you and I, what does this mean? What did it mean for them? They marveled at him. They went away, whoa, that was a cool answer. We didn't trap him. He trapped us instead. What does it mean for you? It means pay your tithe, pay your 10%, pay it to God. Belongs to 100% belongs to God. He tells you to be really careful and be a great, good, responsible person, a responsible steward of 90% of the money that he gives you. And 10% you don't even have to worry about. 10% you don't even have to be responsible with. 10% you just give it, it's his. That's what Jesus would, that's what God wants you to do. Be really careful and live responsibly with 90% of the great blessings he gives you. And 10% you're not even responsible for it. You just give it right back to God and you entrust it in his hands. All right, and taxes? Look, you live in a world in which you live by, you live in the United States of America, I'll just assume. I know some, I get random people every now and then. You look at the analytics and somebody's listening and watching in some foreign country, but hey, I'll talk to the Americans because that's where we're at. Look, I don't like paying taxes either. Within the system, pay as little as possible is my recommendation to you. Why pay more taxes than you need to pay? If they say you have to do it this way, then do it that way. If there's a loophole within the system, use the loophole. Don't pay it to government. Like, why would they don't need money, and they're really irresponsible with the money they get. They waste it. They do evil things with it. So pay as little as possible. But look, if you're carrying around United States legal tender and you're using it every day of your life to pay your mortgage and to pay for your groceries and to do this and that, then you're in the system. You're benefiting from the system. Pay your taxes into the system. It's United States legal tender. And you got it in your pocket. Anybody have a denarius? Whose likeness? Whose inscription is on this? United States legal tender. That's what it says on it. So you got it in your pocket. You got it in your bank account. You live your life based on it. Hey, I didn't ask you to like it, but do it anyway. Now, listen, you don't like it. You don't want to do it. Then stop relying on it. Build a new system. Stop using United States legal tender. All right, that's hard. The whole system is based around it, but it can be done. There's no law that says you have to use American dollars in your transactions. It's just really easy to, and so you do. But if you really are dedicated to not paying taxes, and you think that what the United States government does with your taxes is evil and corrupt and wasteful, and I think that I honestly believe that would be a fair generalization, well then stop participating. Stop relying on the system. Get out of the system. Refuse. Don't send your kids to government schools. You rely on the government schools for your kids, then they got you. That's a little leash around your neck, and they can lead you around. Don't rely on the government for your insurance purposes, and they own you there. Don't rely on the government for your legal tender, for your money. Find a way out of it. Barter, trade, make deals, start a business, and don't accept American currency. Doesn't sound easy, but it's doable, and people do it. And honestly, more people are doing it now. Because people are more and more fed up. They're disgusted by it. It's just paper money. It has no value, intrinsic value at all. And if you don't trust the government, then why would you trust the government to back its money with anything of true value? They don't. So it's just paper. So you don't want to pay taxes to Caesar? Stop using Caesar's money. Find a way out. All right, it's not easy. But I'll be honest with you. I've shared this frequently on our Sundays. And it needs to be repeated. We are giving away scholarships to get your students out of the government schools. We're giving them away on purpose to get you out of Caesar's education system. Because the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. And Caesar's education system, the United States government education system, has no fear of God at all. Zero. I know there's good teachers. I know there's good principals and administrators out there that do have fear of God. I'm not denying that. I'm not saying that if you send your kids there or you work there that you hate God. I'm not saying that. But the system itself has no fear of God. And we know this because they don't let you pray. They don't let teachers pray. It's not allowed across the entire continental United States, the North American continent or whatever you want to call it. You're not allowed to have a person in school authority lead students in prayer. You're not allowed to. That means they don't fear God. You also are not allowed to teach that God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. You're not allowed to teach that God made male and female in his image. Male and female, are even that is up for, apparently, up for discussion in our government schools. But the Bible says that God created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The government schools say, in the beginning, God didn't. The Bible says that male and female were created in the image of God. The government schools say male and female came into existence by chance randomly. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, which is what we would call education. And the government schools say, well, we're going to educate you from age like 4 or 5 up through age 18. And we're never going to mention God. So how are you going to get educated? All right. get out of the system. Get out of the system. You'll still have to pay taxes because you still do live in a system, but you will not be dependent on the system anymore. And your children will raise and grow up without it. And that will be better. So that is the reason why we are giving away these scholarships. It's not just something random that we decided to do. It is an intentional effort to raise up a generation that is outside the government system. And if you do that, if you multiply that across everything you do and say, I'm going to exist purely to give to God what belongs to God. Your children belong to God. I'm going to give to them. Wisdom and knowledge belong to God. I'm going to instruct them in wisdom and knowledge that comes from God. If you multiply that across everything else you do, what are you dependent on Caesar for? How can I eliminate that from my life? How can I get out of that system? And you systematically go about doing that. Give to God what belongs to God and to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Do both and get out from under Caesar. Stop living under Caesar and you will not have to pay Caesar anymore. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. I don't know how to go about doing it. We have a bank account. I am paid my salary in United States dollars. We're tied into the system like I don't even know how to go about getting out of it altogether. I'm not telling you to go be Amish and live in a cave or something. But I tell you what, the farther removed you are from this kind of stuff, the better your life has been over the past 2 years. The more involved the government has been in your life, the harder your life has been. These companies that are trying to lay people off or fearing that they might have to, the reason they're doing it is because they have government contracts, they get government funding for this or that. In some way, they're tied to it. That's the reason. They don't like it. They're not putting the school boards, they don't like it. They don't like being in this position. But there they are because their schools get funding from the government. Their school insurance companies are regulated by the government. And the government's telling them, yeah, you can't be insured and you can't get your grants, you can't get your loans, you can't get your fundings, you can't do any of this unless you do what we say. So get out of their system. Get out altogether. find a way. If more and more Christians started doing this and we got better at just not complaining about taxes and actually tithing and the churches got the full tithe from their attenders and their membership, the churches would be able to do a lot more good than this. A lot more good. We'd be able to feed more hungry so they wouldn't need welfare. We'd be able to educate more young people so they wouldn't need government schools to do it. We'd be able to look out and cover each other's needs, like the Bible says to do, like on every page. And so you wouldn't need to use government insurance. Look, give to God what belongs to God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In the meantime, if you're living in Caesar's system, you're relying on Caesar's system, then you better pay Caesar too, and don't complain about it. Instead, set about building a better system and live in that system. All right, that's enough of that. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We'll move farther into chapter 12 tomorrow. I'll see you then.